It's time for the Second Funniest Podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I am your host, Justin Wersch. This is episode 465. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the man who once had a 20-minute conversation with a fax machine. He is the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Rewind and stay ghoulish.
I will.
My zombie-like friend.
I will.
Here's what we're going to do in today's Halloween episode.
Okay.
I want you to tell me every Halloween costume you had, starting from kindergarten through
12th grade. That's going to be a very short list.
Really?
Yeah.
Go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder if I can make it before the end of the music. First one was Frankenstein, and then there was Charlie Chaplin, and that was it.
Wow, you did do it before the end of the music.
I did, yeah. I'm really trying. Oh, I forgot one. Chewbacca. I was not a fan of Halloween when I was
really?
A kid.
Really? I loved it because it involves dressing up.
I did not like the dressing up and trick-or-treating because
we've talked about this.
I'm laughing at myself. My fourth grade teacher used to compare me to Michael J. Fox on Family Ties because I was way into music or money. I mean,
I was like, what? Oh, that makes sense.
I was always into money.
You were
to
a
the
little
point.
Baby Republican.
Yes.
You were grown up by your dad.
Yes. Only I didn't like have a button up shirt and all that stuff. But I was very enterprising. Like, I know I've told this story in the show, but that when I was a kid, my dad made me get a paper out. So I made like $400 or $500 a month when I was 9 years old. And one of the things that the rule, there was a 7-Eleven literally right next door to my elementary school, and they wouldn't allow kids. The school rule was that you couldn't go there before school, and I think that they said like 7:30. Well, I would be done with my paper route at 6:30, so I would come home, get dressed, and then show up and ride up my bike to the 7-Eleven, buy a bunch of like Now and Laters, which were like 20-cent candies or less, or 5 cents or whatever. And then I had a pouch in my backpack, and then I would sell them to kids for a quarter.
Nice.
Back and make just a ton of money off of it.
Wow.
And then I had to learn the lesson that I couldn't buy chocolate because it would melt. So I would buy a lot of Skittles and remember those Mambas?
That's quite brilliant. Yeah.
And Starbursts, all that stuff. I would always had that. That was like the miniature drug dealer.
As Scott Sublett told me when I went to San Jose State, it's not bad to be a reasonably talented person in a mediocre school. And that's kind of what your childhood was.
Did he say like, you know, Kevin, it's not bad to be a reasonably talented person at a, what was it again?
Mediocre school.
Okay. It's not bad to be a reasonably talented person at a mediocre school.
It was one of the few times in my memory, this is 10 years ago. And
that was
it's
only
like,
for Christian and Evelyn.
But it was like the first time when I felt like I really saw like the true depth of him, where he was like, he was also admitting, I'm a tenured professor at a mediocre school. He's kind of like, sharing this, like,
all in the same boat.
We are the cream of the crap. That's kind of what he was saying. But if the
cream rises to the top, Kevin, what ends up in the middle?
Not us.
Just below the middle. The cream.
More cream.
We are the heavy set cream. That's what we are. Do you like this shirt, Kevin?
Salmon. So that was your childhood. You were a reasonably intelligent, clever boy.
Yeah.
In a neighborhood of rednecks and Mexicans.
How dare you?
Am I right?
No.
No, you've said this
rednecks
before.
Rednecks and Mexicans.
That you played.
I like that rednecks and Mexicans go together in your upper level of thinking.
Here's what I
that
forgive
blew
me.
Up in your face.
Forgive me for the racism. I thought I was referring to a conversation we'd had where you played Monopoly.
Hold on. If you're going to talk to me, take the monocle out of your eye, you son of a bitch. All right? Don't get all uppity at me.
Monopoly.
I'm going to put down my straw. All right?
Listen,
I'm tired of using it as floss.
My parents were bikers. they told me at the age of 12 that I was a yuppie. All right? I've been wearing this waspy
like
pair of pants.
Your sweet, sweet mom. Listen, get out of here with your hippie bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Right? No, like upper. She was the hippie.
Yuppie, you're right. Yeah.
Telling me to stop being so highfalutin.
Listen, stop cutting your hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But you told me that you play Monopoly with your cousins who are Mexican, and they didn't understand understand how to play the games.
My cousins weren't Mexican.
Then it was a bunch of Mexican kids that didn't know.
You're confusing Mexican for Christian.
Was that it?
Yeah, all my cousins are uber religious.
Well, they didn't understand how to play the game.
Yes.
And you took them for all they were worth because they thought they had money. When
all they wanted was the money. They thought that's all they wanted, and I took all the properties, and that's how it... the game is supposed to be played over a three-day festival weekend, preferably with a solstice involved. And I would be done in, like, 3 hours.
Does this stuff just come out of the top of your head? Like, where did that even come from?
That's it. I don't know.
That was well played.
Thank you very much.
I just want to make clear, there are Mexicans all around me. I know. Right now. They're everywhere.
I know. It was one of those moments where... here's the thing. A lot of people think that when you say stuff like that extemporaneous, I know firsthand.
Yeah.
When you say something like that off the cuff, that it's some kind of deep connection to who you are as a person.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you're not a racist, but it was just funny that your angle was to insult me and my homeland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that it just came right back at you like a boomerang.
Because the thing about the word Mexican, it really sucks as a white guy because it has this pseudo-racism term that if you call somebody a Mexican, that's a terrible thing. Or if you call out the fact that they're a Mexican. And I think it's because we're confused because you can't say somebody's black or you're like, am I supposed to say you're African-American?
It's because Mexico is a crappy country and they don't want to be affiliated with that.
Thanks for taking it down a notch. But it's like on The Office.
I'll get you out of this hole. Here's my hand. Step on my back. I got you. Don't slip on it.
When Michael asked Oscar on The Office, do you prefer another term other than Mexican? Why would I prefer another term? You know, because it's offensive. Why would Mexican be offensive? But I really feel like Kat and I got into a conversation where I said, you know, late at night we can just hear the Mexicans next door. And she's like, you can't say that. I was like, why can't we say that? They're Mexican, playing Mexican music, speaking in Mexican Spanish. I hear them next door. It is not racism. It is actual proof. This
Honey,
is
take
happening.
Your hood off. I can't hear you when you shout in the hood.
They're Mexicans. If I had said, I hear the Russians next door, she wouldn't have gone, hey, now, whoa, don't... Don't be bashing
also,
on the Russians.
Also, kind of a crappy place, so yeah, I'm still with you there.
All right. This is all very scary. So here are my Halloween costumes.
Okay.
First grade, a skeleton. Very proud of that. Here's why. Because when I first put it on, I put it on backwards. My mom's like, honey, you have your skeleton costume on backwards. I said, no, that's the penis.
The coccyx?
She said, no, that's your tailbone. The penis doesn't have any bones in it. Mind blown. The second grade through fifth grade, a dog using my mom's homemade.
Second grade through fifth grade?
Homemade costume.
Your costumes have eras like Chinese dynasties.
Oh, we're not done.
I know you're not, but I just love the range.
Wearing a dog costume for those formidable years later in elementary school earned me the very clever nickname of Dog from my neighborhood.
And that's pre-bounty hunter.
Now it'd be like, what's up, dog? But back then they called me Dog.
And then you could yell at people and then try to convert them to Jesus after.
In sixth grade, I went video game style, which is the concept of the show, and I was Luigi.
What?
Super well Mario done. Brothers.
Did you have a Mario?
And I tried to get a buddy to wear a Mario costume, and he didn't do it. I was so bummed. And so I'm walking around on Halloween as Luigi.
That's still pretty impressive that you go Luigi. Jeez. Any kid would go Mario.
Yeah, you'd think so. My mom made it for me. Then
I would have gone Luigi. I always preferred Luigi to Mario.
Seventh grade through, I think ninth grade, I was a wizard using a homemade costume, and there are all these pictures of me throwing glitter into the air. It was pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet.
I like that there's a Cirque du Soleil element to your costume.
And then, 10th grade, I was Peter Pan or Tinkerbell. I can't remember. A bunch of us dressed up and went around the neighborhood wearing...
In what grade?
10th grade.
Okay.
Yeah, 10th grade.
Tinkerbell's acceptable in 10th grade.
Now, I
did you hear about the kid? This is a long time ago. Mm-hmm. There was a kid that dressed up as, Daphne?
From
Scooby-Doo. Uh-huh. There was a boy that wanted to dress up as Daphne from Scooby-Doo, and there was a big hullabaloo.
And they wouldn't let him?
A mom posted a picture on Facebook, and then it was like the same thing as the picture of the baby with a bong, and then mom and dad got in trouble and all this stuff.
Of course.
This kid, and there was this huge uproar of like, there were people that were, you know... There's people that were like, yeah, good for you, ruining gender roles. And then there were people that are like, you're going to get your kid's ass kicked or, you know what I mean? Or you're going to make him gay or, you know, all that stupid crap. Like, it's funny. Like, that's one of those situations where, and I know we're off topic and I apologize, but it's one of those situations where if you have an opinion, then you're wrong. Like, if you see somebody else dress their kid as Daphne, and if you have an opinion, either way, if you feel strongly enough to say, yeah, stick it to the man, that's wrong.
Right.
Or no gender roles. Like, you know, that's wrong. Or if you're like, yeah, I don't need that queer coming to my school, then also wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
Also very, very wrong.
Like, who cares? He's a kid.
Yeah, you should look at that and go, that's funny. And then move on with your life because you have other things more important.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I can't remember what I was in 11th and 12th grade. Probably something in our wardrobe.
Drunk?
Closet. Yeah, maybe. But when I was a freshman in college, I was a Star Trek character.
Yes.
And I remember going around to a neighborhood after a party and getting some trick-or-treating, and this guy looked at us and was like, you guys are a little old for this. But I wasn't the only one.
You went trick-or-treating your freshman year of college?
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about this.
Yeah, and it was pretty late at the time. I think I knew you at this point in time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I never did it again. And that's not true, actually. I went trick-or-treating just last year and got a bag full of M&Ms at...
with us?
In Toluca Lake, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I was a cowboy last year.
That's right.
We're trick-or-treating right now in the reality of the show.
Yeah, that's true. I experienced my first costume parade as a father in the reality of the show. I'm very excited for that. I have to buy chicken nuggets for my kids' preschool.
So that they can have the little pail to do trick-or-treating in?
No, it's like they have a party, and then the parents have to sign up.
Does McDonald's still do that? I went into a restaurant where they had a pumpkin trick-or-treat thing, and I asked the guy, I said, is this real? Is this from McDonald's? And he goes, what? I said, well, back in the day, they used to have their Happy Meals in these pumpkin things so you could do trick-or-treating. And the guy was like, I was like, maybe I just dated myself. And he's like, I think so, bro. He was like 19 or whatever.
Yeah, no, he just didn't understand he doesn't understand that that's what the intent is for those buckets, is that they're your trick-or-treat buckets.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they just look like Happy Meals you put stickers on. That's like the toy. The toy is the box now.
Which is great.
Yeah, no, my son, trust me, we have 8 of them. And then I have to figure out a way to throw them away without destroying his ego and his life and everything, and it's still convincing.
What are y'all going for Halloween this year?
Oh, damn it.
Why are you mad?
I'm not mad.
We don't have to talk about it. Hit pause. We'll delete this.
No.
Delete this whole episode.
I didn't mean to sound mad. I guess I was playing up the bit that I am thoroughly going to enjoy.
Bit.
No, you didn't ruin anything. It's that my son picked all of our costumes. He wants to be the Dark Knight, so it will be.
That's awesome.
He decided that Jack will be Robin.
His little brother, who is
16 months old.
16.
And
that's cool.
Yeah. And then mom is going to be Catwoman.
It's good
that
they didn't make him like Clayface or something. Something jacked up. No, Jack is Two-Face. Make this side of his face ugly.
Sets it on fire.
Yeah.
So mom is going to be Catwoman. Which was hilarious because my wife is like, she's modest at moments, but like incredibly like arrogant at others. So it's like when it's announced that she will be Catwoman, she's like, oh, dad's going to like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the costume showed up and she was right. I'm a fan.
What Catwoman is it? There have been.
It's Dark Knight Catwoman. But I mean, the only way.
So like with the burglar ears and stuff?
Yes, burglar ears. And the only way to make it, I guess, more inappropriate or better for me, I guess, would be to go Michelle Pfeiffer Batman.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was a Catwoman.
Yeah.
She was naked.
Yeah.
Just a naked girl.
Yeah, but there would be a lot of sweating involved, and then I would have to cut that off of my wife afterwards. Yeah,
they had to stitch her into that thing.
Yeah. So anyway, she's going to be that, and then he said that I will be Captain America.
No. Now, why Captain America?
Why don't I be Bane? Then we have all the characters kind of from the movie, or whatever,
good.
Covered.
They're
and he's
all,
like, no, Dad, you need to be Captain America.
That's very sweet.
And I said, okay. And I like the idea because I like that it's what he picked. And I think it's funny that's what his four-year-old mind was about. But what I thought was hilarious is that I'm going to look like the nerdy dad who's like, I don't like DC. I'm not doing this. Like...
No, that's funny that you think that, because if I saw you all together, I would instantly be like, you don't know what you're doing, do you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't notice the going so far to be like, no, I do not, I'm in solidarity, no DC. I would see noob, you don't know, those are not all the same.
Well, to me, I'm worried that it's going to be like, Dad didn't want to go with the theme because he had his own agenda. Like, that's what I'm afraid it's going to look like.
Probably.
When I couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
Like, I tried to stick with the theme. Four-year-old was not about a theme.
How would you have done Bane? Are there Bane costumes?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I could have. I mean, I probably would have done what Kevin Hardy did. I would have beefed up a little. Uh-huh. Probably put a little microphone in my face and done some kind of weird burlesque voice.
That's Darth Vader.
Huh?
That's Darth Vader you just described.
I don't know what I'm doing. I am a noob. I am a noob. Oh, crap. That backup costume is going to be a mistake. It's going to be even worse than the first one. Batman, The Dark Knight, Robin, Catwoman, and Darth Vader.
Seems like Disneyland.
I am his father.
Sir, have you? No.
I've been saying this all night.
Hilarious.
So that's, how about you and Kat? What are you guys doing for?
I think we're going to do Toy Story, but we don't have one for Kat yet. We went to the Disney.
Who are you going to be?
I have my Buzz Lightyear hoodie, uh-huh, which I love wearing to weddings.
Yeah.
Which I have. We went to a 6 a.m. wedding.
You said rednecks and Mexicans about my hometown. You're like, I will wear a Buzz Lightyear's hoodie.
No, see,
to a wedding.
Here's the thing. I work at
because
church.
I have hipster friends.
Yeah, it is. I work at church in Hollywood, and so they had a 6 a.m. wedding, and I said,
"Do they look at your Buzz Lightyear hoodie and think you're being ironic?" And
that's absolutely.
And they don't know that you love it.
Oh no, it's both.
Okay,
but that's the thing about hipsterness is that it's like, no, that's you've identified yourself.
A lot of winking and nudging.
Yeah. A few of them were like, really, because it's not muted tones, and I don't show up dirty. Or in a cowboy hat or something. I didn't go super ironic, but I was like, we were there at 6.
At least your beard is groomed.
Yeah, that's also true. We were there at 6 a.m. for this wedding, and I wanted to wear my a hoodie because it's freaking cold. It's like, what if I had worn
a
suit?
Who gets married at 7 a.m.? Exactly. I know that's what you yelled 5 minutes ago. But
6 a.m. It was because they wanted this location, and the place wasn't booked at 6 a.m., so they had a sunrise wedding. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was out in Malibu, so it sucked driving out there.
But why make people come then?
I don't know. Lots of people didn't come.
Did you care that people saw you get married when you got married?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, really?
I
give a crap.
Then why did you do it?
Because I had a wife.
Ah, there it is.
Yeah.
I said it in my speech. It meant a lot to me to have all my favorite people in the same place. Well, that's not true. A lot of my favorite people, and then half of them were my second favorite people because the first list didn't all say they could come. So then we brought in some of the secondaries.
Oh, really? Yeah, you brought in some replacements?
What wedding do you not? I guess, did you? Did you invite everybody that you wanted?
I did not invite. No, I there was, I don't know what I did. It was... I really think that we invited everyone that we that Natalie made a list, mm-hmm, and then gave me a number, and I said no. I said 200 is your max number, no more than that, because I think she wanted 200. To invite like 300 or something like that, and then it was down to like 80. I think is what
that's
showed great. Up. I think or something like
it's
that.
Low. So speaking of costume events that are scary,
well done,
Halloween. So I wanted to talk a little bit about scary games, and you'll have a lot more to say on this topic than me.
Oh, will?
I would imagine.
I hope so.
Your son, just the fact that your son loves scary stuff is a pretty great detail.
Well, I haven't played like Silent Hill with him.
But I remember, I wish I could remember what game it was, but I was on the PS1 and my brother was in high school, and he said that he was playing this game with the Rumble Shock on his PlayStation controller, and he said he had the lights out and stuff, and he was playing it, and he's a guy that liked horror movies to begin with, so that's why he even played this game, and he said it was so frightening to him that he had to turn some lights on and
stuff. No chance about it's Resident Evil.
It must have been Resident Evil, because that's been around for a long time.
I feel like that and Metal Gear Solid was the first one to really...
I think it was Resident Evil, because that's a lot of demons and stuff in it, and he was talking about how he could
and
feel...
And it was a scary game.
Right. And he said he could feel...
And they
feel,
would use that... I remember them using that Rumble Shock controller in the same way that a horror movie would use music.
That's exactly it. And that's what he described. And I remember my paradigm shifting from being like... Because up until the PS1 generation of games, even meanwhile on what Nintendo was doing, was all side-scroller fun puzzle stuff. So then to be like... Oh, it can tell a story. This mm-hmm. can create a mood. This can, it's not, you know, there were scary games before, but they were just like, there was some blood on the screen or something, or it was a picture of a severed head or something. It wasn't like actually emotionally engaging you to the place. And I never played that stupid Resident Evil game. I'm trying to think of the scariest game. Oh, that's right. So my wife, at the time, girlfriend, is not into scary things at all. Not, and neither am I. I stay away from it. So we were dating at the time. She was over at the house, and I was playing. We were just hanging out after church, and so I was playing Portal. I was like, "You got to see this Portal game." And you know, every boyfriend tries to show their girlfriend video games to see if they'd be interested. And I said, I think maybe you might find this interesting because of the reality of the portal gun, right? You get to move and you walk through this and you show up over here, right? Isn't this neat? And she's like, oh, that's an interesting puzzle thing. And if you remember the first Portal game, there comes a point where suddenly it kind of tips the mask a little, is a writing term. Like, you kind of see up the sleeve where they start to reveal that something is not right in the world of Portal, and that's the level that she saw. So I'm running down this hallway, right?
Behind the scenes.
And so. It was even more chilling because I didn't know what was going on, and everything I had done up until this point was this mind-bending puzzle
stuff. Army sarcastic jokes.
And robots talking funny and being tongue-in-cheek, and then suddenly there's bloody handprints on the wall, creepy music coming out, and the walls to the video game. I knew better in my adult mind, but I questioned whether or not the game was broken, and I had somehow snuck behind the reality of the game, and I turned her and like had goosebumps. I still have goosebumps now from describing it. Turned her and go, this has never happened. I don't know what's happening right now.
That's great.
So after I beat the hell out of Portal, I played it on every version available and beat it through several times. Then I had the orange box, and I was like, well, I'll try out this Half-Life stuff because I've heard these games are great. And
I played a Half-Life game, but not the one on the orange box.
The very first Half-Life, I started at the beginning, the very first level in it is like the same sort of thing, like this incredible mind-bending puzzle of like trying to use all this physics engines to get through stuff. It's awesome. And I'm like, wow, this is another great, cool game. The very next level, it's all like zombies and blades and horror and gruesome and fire and creepy people shouting out there. I'm like, and I'm done with this. Like, my cat was walking into the apartment, and I was like, hold on one second. Off. Don't worry, I'm never playing that game again. So scary games, not entirely my bag.
The only games that I played that genuinely scared me was
Arkham Asylum. Did you find that at all chilling? There are parts of that that are...
Oh, Asylum, yes. I'm sorry. Asylum. I was thinking of Arkham City. Yeah, Arkham Asylum is,
There are part like with the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
There's a part where you That's walk really into the well morgue done. And they keep whispering, get out.
Those games are really well done.
Get out. That's chilling, yeah.
Both of those games, I wish they could just... I wish there
you
was
can't
a world.
Play them, though.
Huh?
You're Captain America.
Yeah, I know. I'm the stupid first Avenger.
You're getting a sequel.
I am.
Way to go, Bucky.
I did?
Yeah, well, the movie is coming out next year.
This is Captain America 2?
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about it next time. But Marvel movies. There's some exciting developments in Marvel movie right futures.
The games that scared me, Arkham Asylum, I got on the edge of my seat, but the game that actually, Dead Space, scared the crap out of me a lot.
Yes.
That was a game that I didn't do it, but
what's the premise of that? Break it down for us.
It's like Aliens.
I bought that for you.
Yeah, it's like Aliens where they, and I don't think I ever played the sequel now that I think about it, but because I felt like I got it. Like, I'm like, I get it. Mm-hmm. But it's like Alien where you go on the ship and something has happened on this, like, you know, station or whatever, and you're going through it trying to figure out what's going on, and there's just all these crazy, disgusting, creeping looking animals that are mutations of the people that were left behind and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And you have limited what they did that was really smart with Dead Space was that they really made you conscious about your ammo, and that's what heightened it. So like, ammo was a really big commodity, and so if you were out of ammo, you're like, oh no! Like, I don't know how they did it, but they got a way to suck you into it. There was a lot of moments where I'm like, oh man, if something comes out here, oh, and you hear like a. A cling and a cling on a pipe.
Nice.
And you're just like, oh, like I wish I could have played that game. The only way that could have made it better is if I would have played it on that headset that I have that has 5.1 in the headphones.
I need to get one of those.
Because then I could turn it up. Because I remember playing that in the dark in my living room while Natalie was sleeping. And I remember thinking, man, I should turn on some lights. And then I went, no, this is what it's meant for.
Nice.
What you're feeling is what you should be feeling. Nice. That's what they intended. Don't rob them of all the hours they put into scaring the
Good
crap
for
out
you.
Of you.
Nice.
So, well, I'm not the guy to have... I'm a guy who doesn't like to be uncomfortable, but I'm not a guy who has nightmares. Like, I don't freak out easy about
that. I just meant honoring the artists behind it. Like, instead of, you know, watching the news at the same time.
It was
time.
Like scotch and water for me. Yeah. Like, that's what I was like. You don't put ice cubes in that. Are you kidding?
Oh.
You don't turn your lights on and play Dead Space.
There's literally a glass of scotch and water.
That's whiskey, I thought.
No, that's with scotch whiskey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there was that game. What other one? Fear. I played the first Fear, and that was pretty scary.
What about Undead Redemption? Did you play that through?
Yeah, I did. I haven't played all the undead part, all of it, but I played a good chunk of it.
That first minute and a half, my stomach turned.
Really?
I was like, oh, I can't handle it.
Yeah.
I don't like
you're
gory
different
stuff.
Than me, yeah.
But like, coming after beating the game.
But it's funny that you don't like gory stuff, but you blow the heads off of people. But the fact that they make it zombies is when it's like, that draws a line.
No, it's not so
I prefer to shoot the living, not the undead.
Here's the thing, though. The reason why is because it goes into the demonic. Because like, then you're starting to worship something that I think is just prime evil.
Yeah.
Because you're right. There are elements of shooting
but
in
how
video
is it
games.
Worshiping something?
No, it's not so much worshiping. Is that it's honoring. That's probably the better word. Of like,
is it?
Glorifying something that is evil is just not my cup of tea.
And, it's interesting to me.
Because...
Is this a conversation for the show? Because I would love to have this.
You ask, and if we decide not, we'll move on.
Okay. Is this a conversation for the show? Or ask the question?
Yeah. You hurt my brain. I was like, what just happened?
You hurt mine when you sat back and stopped talking. Because you said, you ask the question, and then we'll decide. I'm like, I thought I did.
Ask your
Are you question. Are you setting me up to do a bit? Because I'll do it.
Let's ask again. Is this a conversation for the show?
Well, because here's my thing. I don't think that it's honoring it. I think it doesn't hold it in high regard.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a fan base for it.
Yeah.
But the fan base that enjoys it, I think that maybe I'm being unfair. There's like probably a small sect of it that like I like to grind my teeth and pretend to suck blood and bite people because I like the idea of being a vampire. So call myself a vampire. Like, I'm sure those are the kind of people that maybe do what you're thinking. But for the most part, like, I don't watch The Walking Dead or anything like that because I thoroughly enjoy the occult arts.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know what I mean? I honestly would. I don't care if I would fail my owl. I would not take the dark arts.
Oh,
I would not take a
defense
against the dark arts.
You wouldn't take defense against the dark arts?
No, I would not take a defense against the dark arts class because I would be more interested in potions and things like that. I'm not interested.
You have to take it.
That's asking for danger. I don't care if I'd fail my owl. I would do like my... That would be like my
PE.
You
have to until the... you don't have to take it in newts.
I would take the equivalent of a Wizarding World GED, and that's what my father
really?
Did. He refused to take PE, so he just failed out of his high school and went and took his GED.
But
3 months left to go in his senior year. 3 months.
In the term defense against the dark arts, it's sort of like karate. They're giving you a self-defense class because there are dark wizards everywhere.
Yeah.
So the point was that they give you the tools to combat
But what evil. I'm saying is I would build my world so I lived in a gated community in the Wizarding World. And by the way, I'm really loving this conversation.
This is a much better conversation.
No, it's not. No, I don't think so.
What would you be in the Harry Potter world?
I would live in the... like, what would be my job?
Yeah.
Ooh, let's see. What would be
I think... Can you be a stand-up comedian in the Harry Potter world? I think so.
Yeah.
There must be.
Yeah.
Must be wizard of comedians.
But I feel like I would want to... Because here's the thing. I feel like being able to do magic would give me a creative outlet that I could
well, it's just
have
a way of life. I think that's J.K. Rowling's vision of it, is that it didn't become any more spectacular than our world.
Right.
It's just that instead of using computers and cars, you use broomsticks and potions.
Yeah. Never going to glitch out. Never going
No, this was the scary episode.
I know, but
scary
we're still never going to glitch
out. So, real briefly, to kind of put it in terms that I think will kind of make sense, is that I feel like, and again, you asked, so I get to be completely
honest. Yeah, of course.
Is that I feel like in our society, we've become, not in our society, I think culturally, we have allowed...
do you mean globally or just in America?
In America, I'm going to say America. That we have... we've kind of brushed over what God does for us, and I think that it's really easy to... I think we like to dabble in spirituality without really asking ourselves what we're talking about. So culturally, we honor things like karma and Buddhism without really knowing. Most people don't really know what those terms are, and they lump Jesus and God into them as well. Now, so just to give you a little context of where this idea is coming or where my feelings come from. So I spend... my day job, 40 plus hours a week, is working to honor God through everything that I do. And so on Sundays, we spend time worshiping. And when you get to a place, when I've gotten to a place where my actions are close to a perfect holy God, like that's kind of a weird churchy terms, but if you imagine something that is completely without any mistakes, that is nothing but love and absolutely good, then everything else that isn't that just feels broken and wrong. And I become sensitive to the reality of if God is real, and so the enemy, as we call him, or Satan, is doing everything he can to lure people away from it. So games that glorify like zombie or demonic things that were, people are being put in these just horrific places, like the Human Centipede or the Saw movies that kind of tickle that funny bone, are ways of the devil kind of pulling us away from this holiness, this awesomeness that is God, and I think it kind of messes with us. So I become very sensitive to that feeling, and the older I get, I used to be able to be okay with it when I was younger, but it would give me nightmares. Now I feel like it's almost like Defense Against the Dark Arts. Like you're saying, I don't want to take the class. I don't even want to mess with it because I know where it leads. It's dangerous.
So you feel it's a slippery slope.
Not even a slope. It's a line in the sand of like the moment you transition into a place where you start to play with that stuff, you've lost.
But then what about the example of me that when I look at something that's like the Undead Nightmare or whatever it's called, Undead Redemption, what is it? Undead Nightmare?
I think it's Undead Nightmare.
When I look at that, I think it's making fun of that.
I think you're right.
I think that it's poking fun at what that whole idea and that whole mentality is. So I don't think of it, like when you say something like worshiping it or honoring it, I think it's the antithesis of that.
And I think you're right, and I imagine, because I have no doubt that there's some other Christian out there, some other God follower that would tell me that my enjoyment of action things or being able to blow the heads off Mexicans in Red Dead Redemption would say that that's not God-honoring, and I could see their line of reasoning and be able to agree with that. For me, though, I feel like there's just so many places where we move away from God's awesomeness that I don't even want to need to step down the hallway that goes towards it. Like even allowing, there's just so much darkness already. So anything that makes it cool at all, I'm just not interested in.
But so
that's probably the best way I could say it.
Right, but I think you also said the opposite point, like what you just said, is that in a way any kind of headshot would be that same line of thinking.
I could
so
see
it would mean
yeah,
that
yeah.
your world would be limited to racing games and platform games. You know what I mean?
And even like, then, you know, somebody else could say that they're wrong. You know, there's something wrong with racing games.
Right. And that's, I think, probably why I look at something like Undead and I look at it and go, oh, it's poking fun. I never look at it as like, hey, come on over. Yeah. Come on over. Try this out. Because my grandparents spent a lot of time, I saw, and I don't think this is what you're doing, but they spent a lot of time in their own faith looking for examples of how everything is wrong.
No. We call that incarnational. On. You need to be incarnational, excuse me. So that
it's a great breakfast, by the way.
Yeah, right. The term is in the world but not of it. So like I want to be relevant is another Christian term. Like I want to know that these things are happening. I want to brush up against Zombie Land and know that or Undead Nightmare to at least be able to have a conversation with you. Not that this is like a luring tag. Yeah, exactly. But just to be able to know what's going on. But at the same side, I really feel when I expose myself,
because I just had this imagine the scene of you outside the church at Hollywood Boulevard trying to talk to some homeless guy about Undead Nightmare.
I know you
played that PS3. Listen, it's either this or Chrono Trigger, buddy. It's up to you. We got to connect on something. Do you have a
Please
Vita?
Listen to me.
Do you have a Vita?
Do you have one of these? Do you have a smaller one that's flatter and older? PSP?
What are you, an AR guy? Is that your thing? You into augmented reality?
You got the Nintendo Zone? no, I guess it's just that I feel like I'm very sensitive to things that are dark, I guess is the best way to put it. And I just don't feel like that's something that is worth my time or my interest. And I think sensitive is a good word for it, because then I begin to get the nightmares and I begin to go down that path.
So I think what you're really saying is it's unique to you.
I feel like I would like to make it a little wider than that, because I think that if you took a poll of of true Christians, not people that like check a box on their thing, like I'm a Christian, but true Christ followers. Okay. You know, do you not understand what I'm saying? The difference kind of. Between those two, like many people in America will tell you that they're Christian, but have never stepped foot in a church, couldn't tell you what Jesus's mission was. No, don't really aren't.
What do they call it? Easter Catholic or something?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Like that kind of thing. Whereas I would say, like, no, I'm a. That's why a lot of. Honest Christians will actually use the term Christ follower because they feel like it breaks the stereotypical term of Christian. I'm a Christ follower. I read what Christ did, and I go, that's what I want.
I'm not just a conservative Republican.
Exactly. That's it. That's a better way to put it. So I would wager that most of us Christ followers are not seeing movies like Saw, are not playing Undead Nightmare.
But you don't look at people who do and think that they're doing something.
I have no doubt that I know many people within my community at Ecclesia that have enjoyed those things and walk away feeling free from it.
And you don't think that they're on a path of like of going, you know what, screw this whole plan. You know, it's really cool.
No, not
cool.
At all. Exactly.
Eating flesh.
But, yeah, exactly. And, but you know what? You can open up my computer and dig through here, and you won't find 1 megabit of porn on it. And I know that there, porn is a rampant wildfire within the Christian community. It's like more popular among Christians than it is any other demographic. It's
really?
Ridiculous. Oh, yeah. There's some statistic
of
like 80%. Yeah, 80% of men are addicted to porn. Not watch porn. Addicted to porn. I mean, it's ridiculous, and a lot of those guys are Christian. So I can be exposed. Hollywood is like stripper central. There's a stripper store in our building. I'm not exaggerating.
No.
Next door to the church is a mannequin.
What
with
I like
big
is that you
boots.
Call it a stripper store.
It is a stripper
what
store.
What I call it is marital aid.
She'll tell you she's a stripper. I've had many conversations with
who?
Her.
The lady who runs it.
She's like, yeah, sales aren't doing so good. She's like, I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. I'm a stripper. I don't really have a fallback plan. She's like, this was the fallback plan. I'm like, that's our neighbor. She's a sweet lady. I can have a conversation with her, look at her plastic mannequins, and don't go home and go, oh, gosh, what am I going to do with my life? So we all have our own path, I guess.
All right. So happy Halloween.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about what Christians think of Halloween. We didn't get there. Meanwhile, we've listened to Florence and the Machine, Seven Devils Surround Me about twice.
That's the occult.
Probably.
The Machine is the occult.
Yeah.
We are all give machine. Us a call, 408-228-4911. Send us an email to show@secondfunniespodcast.com. Yes, we are a member of the MOG Radio Network. Check them out at mog-radio.com. That is M-O-G, mofo.
Do you think they're rethinking that now after tonight's episode?
No. I don't even think they're listening, to be honest. True. But they're very good guys. They're decent guys who have a ton of listeners who are willing to throw some our way. So
bring it down.
I don't judge them at all, and I appreciate the hell out of them. So, yeah, they got great shows on Guild Wars, Old Republic, and there's even more that are up and coming. And when I know that they're getting caught up on building the website and stuff, and I would be more than happy to plug all their fantastic podcasts. So, anyway, Mog Radio, they're great. On behalf of my friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.